This is the BBC World Service.
Hello, this is The Interview. I'm Lise Doucette in Kabul. My guest today was the public face of the Taliban after the attacks of September 11th. He then spent nearly 4 years at the American Detention Center at Guantanamo Bay. Now he lives in Kabul under Afghan government protection. Abdul Salam Saif, welcome to The Interview.
Thank you.
You're still wearing the black turban and the long black beard, which is regarded as the hallmark of the Taliban. Are you still a member of the movement?
About the turban, this is the culture of Afghanistan. This is not some kind of slogan for the Taliban. Mostly people in Afghanistan, if you go, especially the Pashtun area, you should find the people they are using that. You know that I'm in Kabul. I'm not the envoy of the Taliban. I'm under custody of the government here. They are following my activity. They are watching me what I'm doing it. It's not possible for me to be a member of the Taliban.
But you still have the same views as if you were part of the Taliban movement? You call yourself a Talib?
If you ask me about the idea of the Taliban, my idea is like the idea of Taliban. For example, I'm condemning the presence of foreigners in Afghanistan. I'm believing that our country is occupied by the Americans especially. And what they are doing in Afghanistan, they are searching the houses, they are killing the people, they are capturing the people. This is some kind of insult to the people of Afghanistan. And this is cruel activities in Afghanistan. I am condemning this. And I am believing that until the foreigners, they are in Afghanistan, it will be a continuing problem. That's some kind of idea I have the Taliban have. But I'm not a fighter, they are fighting.
But why didn't you return to the battlefield as some other Talibs did after they were released from Guantanamo Bay, the American detention center?
Yeah, if you go to the detention of America, you should see the situation, what they are doing with the Taliban there. The most the Taliban, they became very angry. In this anger situation, they are released. And nobody helped them, nobody took care of them. And they went to their home and the home was destroyed for them. And all the property was lost. I think this is making more anger than the prison.
Why are you here in Kabul and not on the battlefield?
Yeah.
What about you?
No, I was under custody of the government. I came here under protection of the government. And the government helped me in the beginning. And I didn't go to the battlefield because I was not a fighter. I was some kind of political person. I'm here. I was angry in the beginning when I came. Still, I'm angry. But I'm believing that fighting in Afghanistan is not ending the problem in Afghanistan. I'm believing that negotiation, respect to the people, understanding the mind of the people, this is the solution.
But what did the government offer you that you made the decision, okay, I'm going to not return to join my Talib brothers, I'm coming here?
I released from Guantanamo by condition. The first condition that was I will be in Kabul. I will not go anywhere. Second condition was that I will not make any relationship with the Taliban. The third one, I will not do anything against the American. I signed this contract with them. And this is the reason when we sign something, we have to do it. Yeah, I am here.
You agreed to sign a contract?
I signed by force.
What do you mean, force?
They told me, if you want to sign this contract, you will be released. If you are denying, you will be not releasing from Guantanamo. You will be here. That was the reason I signed the contract with them.
And so you're living in this house in Kabul. There's quite a number of guards from the intelligence service, Afghan intelligence, outside your door.
Yeah.
They're here to protect you?
I don't know. You should ask them.
Are you under threat from Talibs? the Taliban, have they threatened to kill you?
No. If anyone killing me, welcome to them. I'm not scared from anyone. If my blood is helping with the Taliban, my blood is prison for them. I'm not scared about the people. But the protection of the government intelligence, this is their responsibility, the government. I didn't ask for that.
Are you still in touch then with leading members of the Taliban?
No. Yeah, no. I told you, if you are in this situation, your activities will be watched by other person and you will be controlled. How is this possible to touch with the Taliban? if I do that, I will go to the prison again, I will be killed by American. And I don't want to be in this problem. If I want to fight with American, I will go to the mountain, not in this house.
But if people come to you, do they see you as having a role to play in what are now secret talks with the Taliban?
Mostly people, they are coming here and they are working, but that's the nation, the people they are coming. And mostly people, they were asking to do something for the people of Afghanistan. But unfortunately, I'm not ready to do anything because I know the situation is controlled by others. If we are doing anything, this will be reckless. In this kind of situation, we cannot be able to do any role because we are not trusting an American, we are not trusting the foreign troops here in Afghanistan, and nobody is able to guarantee what is going on in Afghanistan.
No, but there is a new American position. Barack Obama has said that as of July 2011, he wants to start to bring American troops home. The foreigners don't want to stay here any longer than necessary and losing lives and spending money.
Who is giving the guarantee for that?
You don't believe them?
I don't believe you. In the beginning, when they came to Afghanistan, they said we will be for 4 months. After that, they said for 6 months. 6 months to 18 months. 18 months to 4 years. 4 years until today. Nobody is able to guarantee that what the Americans are doing because the Americans, they are power in Afghanistan. The people of Afghanistan, they are powerless. There is no guarantee.
You have not a single good word about the Americans who are spending billions in your country.
No, I'm not welcome to that. They killed millions of people in the area. The billions
of
people, if you go to the Iraq, more than millions of people they killed. And if you come to Afghanistan, maybe 100,000, more than 100,000 they killed. We didn't invite the Americans to come. Why they are spending their money?
But now the Americans say they back efforts at reconciliation with Taliban leaders, reintegration, as they call it, of Taliban fighters. There's been a call from a peace jirga for talks with the Taliban. Is this going to work?
Yeah, I'm believing that the final decision will be to make negotiation with the Taliban and to respect to the freedom of the people, respect to the independence of country. That's important for Afghanistan. Until the Americans, they are coming to this position, it will be a problem in Afghanistan continuing. I'm not optimistic what the jirga is doing and what the Americans, they are doing it. This is just symbolic thing for media and to confuse the people and to convince the world.
For the Taliban, it may come down to the Taliban leader, Mullah Omar. You were close to him?
I'm respect to him. This is not...
But you Mullah worked Muhammad. Very closely with him for many years when the Taliban were in power here, and before that.
Yeah, I worked with any Afghan here.
But tell me about Mullah Omar. When did you first meet him? On the battlefield, I understand.
Yeah, before fighting, I had a meeting with him. But my last meeting with him was in September 2001.
You haven't seen him or heard from him since?
After that, I didn't see him.
Were you with him in the battle in 1988 where he lost his eye?
Yeah, I was. The same day I was with him. Yeah. It was afternoon time that the aircrafts came and they bombed the area and he was injured. And I was there, I picked up him.
But he's seen as a very reclusive figure. People don't see him now. And he, of course, is on the wanted list, at the top of the wanted list for the United States. What do you think he's like under those conditions?
I don't know really. But he will be somewhere in Afghanistan. And nobody knows who is he. Maybe he was in Kabul. Maybe he is somewhere
else. People think he's in Pakistan or in the tribal areas along the Pakistan-Afghan border.
I don't believe.
You think he's in Afghanistan?
He is in Afghanistan.
You write in your book about the organization of the Taliban. It's said to have a leadership council, which is based in the Pakistani city of Quetta. It's called the Quetta Shura. Is that how it operates? How it's organized?
This is a new thing which we are hearing in Quetta Shura. My writing was before that.
But is there a Quetta Shura which is the base of the Leadership Council?
Today?
Yes.
Today, this is different. I don't know really from this. There is Quetta Shura, there are other Shura or not. Which I know one leader is Mullah Muhammad Omar. If he is anywhere, he is leading the movement.
Everyone accepts?
I didn't know anyone else.
There is no divisions in the movement. They all accept his view.
His will.
But if he's in hiding, how can he play a crucial role? How does he communicate now? Because all of his communications would be tapped. He's being followed.
I don't know. This is very sophisticated for me and for you. The people, they are using very sophisticated technology. They are taking advantage of that, American and other, and the Taliban too.
What about the links to Al-Qaeda? How important are they to Osama bin Laden?
If I'm instead of Taliban, we should take support of anyone. Because I'm in a very cruel situation, in a very isolated situation in Afghanistan. They need support of anyone. But Taliban and Al-Qaeda, they are very different. The Al-Qaeda, they have international idea, international agenda. In the Taliban, they have national idea and national agenda. This is different.
But one of the key conditions set by the Afghan government for any reconciliation is that the Taliban must renounce links to Al-Qaeda. Will they do it?
The problem is not with the Karzai government, not with the Afghanist people. The problem is with American foreigner here.
If the Americans and others leave, would the Taliban renounce links to Al-Qaeda?
I think how to come stability to the country, how to come to peace, this is not important for us who will be the leader, even Mullah Muhammad Omar or Karzai. But this is important for Americans to have a puppet here to do work for them. If there is condition for Al-Qaeda, will be condition for America. No link for any foreigner.
You're listening to Abdul Salam Zaif. He was once the public face of the Taliban. He's speaking to us on the interview on the BBC World Service. I'm Lise Doucette in Kabul. Well, in your autobiography, which was written in Pashto, one of Afghanistan's national languages, and just published in English, it's called My Life with the Taliban. You talked about your own life. You were born in a village, a poor Afghan village, in 1968. And at a very young age, you lost your mother and then your father.
Yeah.
What was your childhood like?
I am not remember my mother. My sister told me, my brother told me I was 6 months. When my father passed away, I was 7 years old. I remember my father, but after that I understood what happened to me.
We want to hear a bit about your personal life. You were 11 when Soviet troops invaded Afghanistan. You were in the south.
What
do you remember about that time?
The first time, I was 7 years. After 2 years, maybe, Daoud Khan was killed by Taraki.
The Afghan leader.
He became a president in Afghanistan. And the people, they were concerned about Afghanistan. Mostly people, they were thinking that the country became destroyed. And these people, they came to the power, they are communist, and they should destroy the country, and they should bring the Russian to Afghanistan, and they should bring the non-Muslim system to Afghanistan, non-Islamic principle to Afghanistan. And that's the people they were attacking. The thousand people they put in the jail, some people were killed. More than 60,000 people were killed. Nobody knew where they are. Until today, they are disappeared from Afghanistan. And we went to Nashki, Pakistan, a small area. And it was very hot weather, and there were no water, there were no any preparation for the refugees, this small tent. And after that, we were transported from there to Panchpai. Panchpai was other area, camp of refugee. We were there, it was very big desert. There was a lot of snakes and scorpion and... And that's a long time we were there, and I was studying Islamic education. Also, I went to the school. And also, Mujahideen, they were coming to Afghanistan, and most people, they became martyred. And we also interested to go to the jihad.
Because you were just 15 then. You actually ran away from home in the refugee
15.
Camp in Pakistan.
Yeah.
And you went into Afghanistan with some other fighters older than you.
Yeah, older than me.
And why did you want it so young an age?
You know that mostly fighters, they are younger. They are more sensitive than the older. And they are not feeling any responsibility for the future or for the family. And they are very independent. And that time, the people, the blood is very warm in that time. We were more braver than today in that time.
Braver.
If I was in this age today, I would be not here today. We went to jihad, we were participated with jihad, and sometimes we would come into Pakistan, and mostly time I was spending in Afghanistan. In Afghanistan, I was with Taliban, and I was studying, I was teaching the people in the area, and I endured 2-3 times, and that's...
We were caught operation. 9 times? You write in your book you were caught 9 times in a Russian ambush?
Yeah, that's what we were.
You lived, but you sustained some injuries.
Yeah. 2 times I was injured.
To this day, you still have your injuries from that time of fighting against the Soviets?
I have. Here.
In your back, your leg?
Yeah.
But you write many times in your book how you were happiest when you were studying.
Yeah, the studying of the Islamic religions in the book and other, to writing and to teach the other people, this is happiness to the people, because we were thinking our time is not wasted. This was very happy time, because we were hoping that we should become martyr, we should go to the paradise, and this...
You wanted to die and become a martyr in the fight against the...
Yeah, we wished that.
But you wished
unfortunately,
it?
Unfortunately, I didn't. Until today, I'm not blaming myself, because this was not related to me, but I wish to be much time than that time.
You wish you had died then? But you talk in your book about even when the Taliban came to power in 1996, you would have preferred to keep studying. But Mullah Omar, the Taliban leader, asked you to come to Kabul to take over. You took on a number of roles. But you describe in your book that the administration was broken and disorganized.
Kabul was lost everything. There was no ministry, just the building. Nothing was there. Chair, paper, anything was lost. And we starting from the beginning. And in the beginning, when I came to Kabul, I went to the defense ministry, and I became the president of administration there. And after that, I became the minister of transportation. My last year was ambassador to Pakistan.
Your book has been criticized for not discussing the mistakes, the abuses during Taliban rule.
Really. This was my personal view. This was my personal biography I was talking about. I was not talking about the whole history of the Taliban. But the next book, by the name of History of Taliban, will come in. I will mention all the things.
Do you think the Taliban made mistakes in power, for example, in the treatment of women?
Any organization, any party, they had a mistake. And the Taliban had, yeah. And especially the Taliban, they were not experienced with the politics. And the education of Taliban was not enough to have a deal with the world. And they were not expert about this issue. Many mistakes came from that.
Do you believe that girls should be educated?
Yeah, I'm believing. But by condition, to be safe, their dignity will be safe. They should go to education separately from the men, and they have to study. This is their right.
And women should have a role. They should be government ministers. They should be judges. They should take leading roles in society.
I'm Muslims, and I'm believing that religious is right. If the women, they have any kind of right in Islam, we have to respect it to her. But the time when the Taliban, they came to Afghanistan, this was the other time. The women, they were not priority for them in that time, but they were not denying the women they have no right. The priority in Islam is for men, because the men have more responsibility than women. For example, in my society, in Afghanistan, in the society of Islam, the men, they have 3 basic responsibilities: to provide house for the women, to provide clothes for the women, to provide food for her. This responsibility giving priority to the men to have job, to do work, to fulfill the responsibility. But unfortunately, in Afghanistan, we haven't any job for the men, and which was nothing for the women too.
They'll have to wear the burqa again, the blue burqa?
This is, I think, the people they are using today.
Some women choose to, but it's their choice. A lot of Afghan women choose to, especially in the rural areas. But in Kabul, some of the women don't want to wear it now. They wear a headscarf.
How many percentage they are not wearing?
But do you think it should be mandatory? It should be.
No, this is when the government make a rule, the people have to listen to that. And this is the regulation for any country in the world.
So it will be the regulation.
Now the Taliban, I don't think they become to the power. They will be responsible for that. Now the priority for Afghanistan is peace. It's not the women issue. It's not the main issue. It's the peace, stability to come to Afghanistan. After that, we should discuss always the situation changing by passing time. Maybe many change come, I think. I hope that.
Well, the fate of the Taliban changed dramatically with the attacks in New York and Washington on September the 11th. You write about how you watched that on television and you cried.
Yeah, I know that. Because I understood the American, they should come to Afghanistan and I attack Afghanistan.
Is that why you cried?
Yeah, this was the reason. I didn't cry for America.
So you supported the attacks on the United States on September the 11th?
I didn't support. I condemn it. I'm not supporting killing of the people anyway. And I know this is not a solution. But my problem, which I was feeling in the time, and this was Osama bin Laden was in Afghanistan. In America, this was very easy for them to condemn and to accuse Osama bin Laden. I'm believing this was conspiracy to the Islamic world and American to enter to this area.
So you think the Americans organized the attacks of September the 11th?
Anyone. This was conspiracy.
But even Osama bin Laden took credit for the attacks.
No, I'm not believing Osama. And Osama bin Laden.
You don't believe Osama when he says that?
No, I'm not believing. I'm not believing. There is no proof for that Osama bin Laden was involved with that. It was a very sophisticated plan. When I'm looking to Osama bin Laden, is his activity in Afghanistan, his knowledge, this was not possible to manage this kind of sophisticated attack on America.
Well, I know some people do maintain that view, but I think many of our listeners, especially in the United States, will find it very hard to accept that point of view that America would kill and attack its own cities, its own people.
The intelligence they are doing was a dangerous thing. Maybe they are not believing, but I am not convinced by that. They have to convince me. They have to convince the people of Afghanistan. We need evidence for us to convince us that he was involved with that. He was behind of that. Unfortunately, the Americans, they didn't provide anything. They came to Afghanistan, they attack on Afghanistan, and today they don't have any proof about that.
Well, we'll leave that investigation aside. You became the public face of the Taliban then. You were the Afghan ambassador to Pakistan. You had a daily press conference.
Yeah.
And what was your main message at that time? Because you really dominated the news.
I sent a message to Bush. I sent a message to
George
Congressman, to Parliament of America, and to the other figure. I told them, coming American to Afghanistan is not a solution. Attack on Afghanistan is not a solution. Please, don't come. But unfortunately, Americans, they were not listening. That message I convey to anyone. I was trying to not start fighting. But I was just one person.
But there was fighting, as we know. The Taliban were toppled in November. And you then were arrested in January of the next year.
Yeah.
And sent to Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
What did they tell you were your charges?
In the beginning, when the American, the Pakistani, they arrested me.
It was Pakistanis?
Pakistan,
your allies?
American allies. They came to my home in Islamabad. I was officially working in Islamabad. I had a passport, I had a visa. They took me from my home. They transported me to Bagram. And Bagram was very strict condition.
Just north of Kabul.
Yeah. And they beat me, and they kick me, and they insult me. Until I became unconscious, three times. They put me in the ice. It was snow, very cold weather. After 2.5 months, they transferred me to Guantanamo. And Guantanamo was different. They wanted everything in the mind. If you have anything, you have to tell us. Economy, education, jihad, life, economy of Afghanistan, narcotics, the public cultivation, the agriculture, everything they wanted. And more than 230 times I went to investigation, they were asking me.
Did those experiences then shape your very, very harsh views of the United States?
Before, that's unfortunately, I was believing that Americans, they are good people, and they are obeying to the rule, they are obeying to the human right. When I saw the American, I changed my mind. I told myself I had a mistake. American, they are selfish people, and they are doing everything for themselves, not for others. That's what's changed.
The Americans now accept that they made some mistakes. Barack Obama wants to close down Guantanamo Bay. Can you see a day when you can see that there should be a good relationship between Afghanistan and the United States and other Western countries?
Don't ask for a good relationship. Ask to resolve the problem. I don't want to have a good relationship with America, but to have respect. I don't want to be a friend of America. This is very dangerous for me.
Abdusalam Zaif, thank you very much.
Thank you.
For joining us on the interview.
The former Taliban spokesman Abdusalam Zaif was talking to Lise Doucette in the interview. The producer was Annette McKenzie. You can listen to that programme again or download a podcast by going to the interview website. Go to bbcworldservice.com/the interview. If you'd like to comment on the programme, send us an email to theinterview@bbc.co.uk. Or you can write, if you prefer, to The Interview, BBC World Service, Bush House, London.